faithful to the Lord and what he's done in our lives and what he continues to do. And plus, he's made promises. So God would never leave or forsake us, and he's given us promises. Should the Lord tarry and we still have a breath in the next moment, guess what? He's still with us. And he's still going to be performing the miracles and things that he's always done. Amen? Hallelujah. I'm going to pray and get started tonight. I know God has a word for us. I'm going to try to keep it brief tonight. There's a few of us, but, you know, the power of the Lord is here. The anointing of God is here. Where there are two or more gathered in his name, that there he is in the midst. So he's here. That's the most important thing. He's here, and he made a way for us to be here. Amen? Heavenly Father, God, we come before you tonight, God, to give you thanks and praise, Lord. Lord, for gathering us here together tonight, Lord. We know that this is your will, my God, and you haven't called us in vain. Lord, I give myself right now solely to you, my God, that Lord, I would be your vessel tonight and that you would use me, Lord, in the way that you will. And God, within the sound of my voice, dear Lord God, may every heart, every mind, dear Lord God, be blessed with a word, dear Lord God, that will strengthen, dear Lord God, a word that will build, dear Lord God, a word that will even tear down in places that need to be torn down, my God, but a word that will edify and give us growth, my God, in you. We give you thanks and praise. Holy Spirit, have your good and perfect way. We pray in Jesus' mighty name. And they all said, amen. Give God another praise. I'm going to get started here. Hallelujah. First of all, I want to thank my Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, for the salvation, the free gift of salvation that he's given unto me. Over 20 years ago, thank my pastor, Pastor Danny, Sister Barbara, and our pastoral staff for entrusting me with the responsibility of coming forth tonight and sharing God's word here tonight. I want to thank my wife, my beautiful wife, my back-to-back partner. Amen. Good thing we weren't partners in crime, okay? Because I think we would have been awful, okay? But praise the Lord, she's a home girl as well. We came up through the home, amen. I was a director when she was in the home, and we were both in the home, amen. And so I just thank God for her love, her commitment, and her help in fulfilling the call of God. I'm a little disappointed I didn't get a chance to make it to the conference. It's so awesome to be there, of course, like Sam said. For those of us who couldn't make it, of course, we have, man, technology is the bomb. Okay? You know what I'm saying? We would have to wait. Of course, there's going to be a good report, but we'd have to wait for that report. But we've been able to do some live streaming online, and it's just been awesome. Big Papa dropped a bomb on Monday night, and yesterday morning, our elder, Pastor Saul, and the elder, Mitchell Peterson, they dropped it, and last night I was late getting to Philip LaCroix, but I saw some of his message as well and some of the worship, and it's just, man, what God can do is just amazing. It's just amazing, amen? But I couldn't make it. 2 weeks ago I had surgery on a rotator cuff that was torn real bad, and a doctor told me also that I had a beat-up bicep. And I had surgery a couple of weeks ago, and today they took out the stitches. So because of doctor's appointments and things like that, we couldn't make it this time. But speaking of doctors, I was in my driveway, of course, a knucklehead. These tennis shoes, these Skechers that I had, they've been faithful. they've been faithful for a long time. But they lost their faithfulness. Otherwise, I wore them bad boys out, and a couple of almost slips in water, my wife told me several times. Man, are you going to get rid of those shoes or what? Of course, what? Can y'all hear that? That's a knucklehead, okay? That's a knuckle dome right there. And I didn't listen. I was washing the car one day. And, of course, our driveway is on an incline like this. I walked around the side of the car, and I turned quickly in both of my feet, and I fell back on this left arm. You know what? God was with me, because a fella as big as I am, with a little age, there's no way my reflex My reflex that day was faster than a 15-year-old. Boom, man. But it jammed that shoulder up, and I know I ripped something there because, man, I'm talking about pain like I'd never felt before. But I know I would have bust my head. I would have cracked open my skull. Praise the Lord, it was the shoulder and not my skull. There's not much up there anyway, so I want to hold on to as much as I can. But in that fall and my inability to use the arm, it prompted me to go to the emergency room at the hospital where they took x-rays. They took x-rays there. They did a few tests. Doctor came and says, well, we don't see anything on the x-ray, but then the x-ray won't show us everything. We did see some arthritis in that shoulder, but we can't see, you know, the tendons and stuff like that. And judging from the pain that you're having and the lack of motion, I suspect you might have torn your rotator cuff. Okay? All right. Now, it says, and that's as far as I can go with it. What I'm going to have to do right now is make you an appointment to see a specialist. Somebody say specialist. To see a specialist. See, a doctor, an MD, you know, they know a little of this, a little bit of that, and a little medicine over here and over there and there. But the specialist, you understand, that he sent me to specializes in this. All right? Going to go see the shoulder man. All right? The rotator cuff guy. That's what he does. And he focuses. That's his focus. So he's a specialist, if you will. So I go to see the specialist, and he has me do some things in front of painful stuff. And then he looked at me and says, you've got a bad torn rotator cuff. I don't have to see it. I know it's torn, but I'm going to get you to go get an immediate MRI so that I can see the extent of it. And so I went and got the MRI and stuff. It came back to him. He called me into the office. We looked at it. It was torn real bad. Of course, a beat up. Now, the beat up bicep, upper bicep, is from years and years of getting beat up. Okay, it wasn't from the fall. But he told me I'm going to have to operate. He said the bicep, the upper bicep, those tendons I'm not going to be able to do much about because those tendons, that operation within itself is not too successful. But this torn rotator cuff has been a very successful procedure. And I said, okay, let's do this. Let's do this. Because I could play my bass a little bit up front here, but any of this motion, forget about it. Forget about it. If I had to reach over my head, man, look here, you're going to have to call the ambulance. Okay? So anyway, went into surgery. The surgery was successful. Went under the knife and the doc put my shoulder back together with a couple of screws. And, man, I got some pictures at home. It looks like some bungee cords up in there. You know that twine? Well, it's twine. You know that nylon twine that's got the stripes on it? that's what it is. Yeah, yeah. And so I got some screws in there now. But, hey, guess what? Now I'm expecting I'm going to be bionic now. Okay? So I'm going to see if I can play some bionic bass here. But praise God for you, Jimmy. You're doing an awesome job, brother. And give God a praise. Because all we need is in the house. It's in the house. Now, in saying that, I want to say this, that there are many people in law enforcement, many people in society who have their own diagnosis of what was wrong with many of us and what to do about it. Amen? So in talking about doctors, I want to say this. There are many people that says he or she, they're a hopeless case, they're a menace to society. We ought to lock them up. I know they said it about me. Maybe no one else here got that. But lock him up and throw away the key. Matter of fact, one of the DAs told Pastor Danny when I was in the home, says, man, look, good luck with this guy. Good luck with this guy, Pastor Danny. Came to visit the home one time. Yeah, I know that guy there. Yeah, we got him all over the place, all right? His rap sheet is from here to New York City. But anyway, society said lock him up and throw away the key. Once a junkie, always a junkie. Once a prostitute, always a prostitute. Once a gangbanger, always a gangbanger. This is what many in society, and instead of talking about rehabilitation, they're building more prisons and more jails. Hello, somebody. I want to tell you tonight, just like they sent me to the specialist, I want to tell you tonight that we serve a specialist. His name is Jesus, and he's the specialist of the hardcore hopeless cases. You see, I was considered a throwaway, a lockup, and throwaway the key kind of guy. And then when I'm looking at the live streaming on the internet, and I'm seeing some of the altar calls. I saw a brother, maybe he was from Salvador somewhere down in South America, but I'd never seen anyone with that many tattoos. And I know that there were a lot of gang-related stuff on him. The brother had tattoos all over his forehead and eyelids and his ears. And there was, you could not see any part of him that was exposed without tattoos. But I saw this man broken at the altar. I saw him crying out to God. And many others that were at the altar there, I saw them crying out to God. And just like Mark said, Brother Mark last week, he said, look, the bringing together of all these ex-gangbangers and dope fiends and alcoholics and all this, that, and the other, you understand, is definitely a recipe for disaster. But here, nevertheless, in 50 years of bringing men and women out of the inner city where there's violence and drug addiction and alcoholism and dysfunctional families and things, the ministry of Victory Outreach has survived by the grace of God, the help of God, and the power of the Holy Spirit. We have a specialist who specializes in the hardcore, in the helpless, in the hopeless cases. 1 Corinthians 1:27, it says, God has chosen the foolish things of the world to confound the wise, or to put to shame the wise. And God has chosen the weak things of the world to put to shame the things which are mighty. It's something how God, it didn't say that God chose the philosophers. It didn't say that God chose the statesmen or the high-ranking political officials. Nor God chose the powerfully wealthy people whose only interest is to be glorified in their own flesh. But God has chosen the foolish things of the world. There's really something interesting about a foolish thing, because I was a foolish thing. See, God, one thing that I could not say. See, I couldn't put myself up on a pedestal because it would be the biggest lie in the world. I knew I was a dope fiend. You didn't have to tell me I was one. You didn't have to tell me that, as Pastor Ed Morales said, hey, you didn't have to tell me that I was a lunatic, a maniac. I knew what I was. I knew I was lost. But one thing about a lost person, you understand, they realize their frailty and weakness. These are the ones, you understand, that used to follow Jesus Christ around, and they were broken. And they were willing to allow him, you understand, to do a work in their lives. Let me tell you something. You don't go to the doctor unless something's wrong. And see, the people that don't have anything wrong, you understand, they can't find it within them to go to a doctor. Well, you can't blame them. If you think ain't nothing wrong with you, if you think you're not sick, well, what's the use in going to see a doctor? But when you know your condition, when you know you're out of control, when you know you're a sinner, when you know you're a misfit, a lunatic, a maniac, you understand. You need a doctor. You need a savior. And that's where Dr. Jesus comes into effect. The specialist, if you will. Many of us at the end of our rope, at the end of our road, Jesus, who specializes in conversion of the hard and hopeless cases, he came up on the scene. Praise God, somebody up in here. Praise him. Praise him. We don't need 2,000 people to praise him. If it's just me and you, we're going to praise him tonight. We're going to praise him. I want you to turn with me right now to Matthew 4, chapter 4. Hallelujah. But man, just amazing. I tell you, man, just amazing, amazing, amazing. Matthew chapter 4, beginning with verse 18. When you have it, say amen. Matthew 4, 18, the Bible reads, "And Jesus, walking by the Sea of Galilee, he saw two brothers, Simon called Peter and Andrew, his brother, casting a net into the sea, for they were fishermen. Then he said to them, 'Follow me, and I will make you fishers of men.' They immediately left their nets and followed him. Going on from there, he saw two other brothers, James, the son of Zebedee, and John, his brother, in the boat with Zebedee, their father, mending their nets, and he called them. And immediately they left the boat and their father and followed him." Here we see Jesus calling his disciples, This is the beginning of his ministry. And he's calling disciples unto himself. And these were hardcore fishermen, man. They were hardcore fishermen. Later on in the Gospels, you read about Peter, man. Peter was a knucklehead. He was a knucklehead. Loud, obnoxious, prideful. Hello, somebody. Violent. Took the soldier's sword, man, cut his ear off. Young Jesus had to put the man's ear back on. You know what I'm saying? Always shooting off his mouth, man, you know. Then we look on, you understand, and Jesus later on in Mark 3:17, Jesus went on, you know, he went on, of course, to call Andrew and, of course, James and John, Zebedee's son. Jesus nicknamed them in Mark 3:17. He nicknamed them the sons of thunder. Hello, somebody. See, this is the only place in the Bible you'll find that designation, the sons of thunder. Now, I'm going to tell you right now, Jesus don't need a man's testimony because he already knows who you are. Hello, somebody. He already knows what we're all about. And although there's not another designation or a reason for why he called them the sons of thunder, hello, somebody. But nevertheless, Jesus knew their nature. Hello, somebody. And so he nicknamed them sons of thunder. Now, you figure it out. Hello, somebody. Now, prior to this, we have to look at the fact that in chapter 3, Jesus, after being baptized, after fulfilling the righteousness requirement of God, the righteous standard of God, being baptized, even though greater than John the Baptist, nevertheless had to be baptized. Amen. We notice that after his baptism, that he was led into the wilderness by the Holy Spirit to be tempted. Now, Jesus was in the wilderness for 40 days and 40 nights. And of course, we know Jesus prayed while he was fasting. All right, he taught prayer. Man of prayer, and that's what he did. He prayed. Many scriptures lead us to pray without ceasing. But he was in the wilderness 40 days and 40 nights without anything to eat. And of course, the devil came and tried to tempt him. After a few courses of temptation, the devil received a beat down by the word of God, and Jesus said, "Get ye behind me, Satan. Go somewhere. Get somewhere. All right, I've had enough of you." And he moved on to begin his ministry. Likewise, Victory Outreach was born out of much prayer, much fasting. Pastor Sonny and Sister Julie were in a place. If you read Treasures Out of Darkness, they were in a place. They believed that they were on the right track, but there's times you run into a dry place. There's time you go through a wilderness experience. There's going to be times, you understand, where it doesn't seem like you're making any headway. There's going to be times that it seems that you just can't get it together. It is during those times that God has called you to fast. God has called you to prayer. God has called you to press in with the word, you understand, while you allow him to do a work that only he can do in your life. Pastor Sonny was at a standstill. A standstill, if you will. He was stuck. And he went to a conference one night. And there were speakers there. And he was asking God in much travail. He was asking God, "God, tonight, Lord, please, I need something from you tonight. I need something, and I'm paraphrasing. I need something that's going to break me out of this place that I'm in and break me into your perfect will. I need a vision for the ministry. And the first speaker spoke, and then Pastor Sonny spoke. Of course, Pastor Sonny said after that he still had not received anything from God. Then a man named Dick Mills got up to speak. And Dick Mills was speaking, friend of Pastor Sonny's. And he was speaking, and Pastor Sonny still wasn't receiving anything. And close to the end of Dick Mills' message, Dick Mills called Pastor Sonny and said, "Stand up, Sonny." He said, "Before I hand this over, this microphone over to this pastor that's coming up, Sonny, I got a word from you, for you, from the Lord." And that's where our foundational scripture in Isaiah 45, 2 and 3, he gave that to Pastor Sonny and a light went off. A revelation Pastor Sonny received immediately. There was a word there that would catapult us into where we are today. Hello, somebody. Do you hear me talking tonight? Would catapult us. A vision, something that was made clear. Of course, you read the scripture, you know, you might not get what Pastor Sonny got out of it. But he got the vision of this ministry. And that's why we're here today. Have there been any dry spells since then? Sure. You can always run into those, if you will. But it was out of much fasting, much prayer, that they received a powerful anointing to be able to reach drug addicts, to reach gangsters in the inner cities, ex-convicts in the inner cities, and all other sorts of maniacs, and convince them that a surrender life to Jesus Christ would save them, envision them, and give them dignity and purpose. Hello, somebody. The anointing was so great on Jesus when he looked Peter, Andrew, James, and John in the eyes, and he said, "Look, follow me, and I will make you fishers of men." They what? They immediately got up. Sometime we've got to get up immediately. I remember in the home I had to leave everything behind, which I didn't have much anyway. But what I used to hold on to so much, you understand, I left it behind. I've seen guys come to the home, they haven't worked a job in 20 years. But after 2 weeks, "Well, I need to leave and go get a job and support my family." Brother, you ain't supported family in 20 years. 20 years. God has a work he's trying to do in you. And through you. Hello, somebody. See, we're called, you understand? We're called, we're reached to teach and to release. Hello, somebody. See, so God called us to send us, amen? That's what the Great Commission is all about. So here we see they immediately followed him. Sometime the time is now. The time is right now. We can't procrastinate and sit around and twirl our thumbs. Hello, somebody. See, these were fishers of fish. And Jesus said, "I will make you fishers of men." Well, many of us were fishers of cocaine. We fish for Jack Daniel. Hello, somebody. We fish for heroin. Hello, somebody. We fish for that woman over there, that man over there. We fish for sex. Hello, somebody. We fish for all kind of ugly stuff and sinful stuff, you understand? And then Jesus came along and said, "Hey, I'm going to make you fishers of men. People, souls." And that's what God has called us for, so that we can become those that will go out and storm the cities and storm and kick in the gates where the enemy is at and snatch souls. See, we don't want to play church no more. Time to stop playing church. "Well, I got me a brand new suit. I'm just going to go sit up and look good today." Hello, what? Okay, who reached you? See, we come because God made a way. Some of us wouldn't have been caught dead here tonight a few years ago. Wouldn't be caught dead in a church service. Well, maybe dead, yeah, at a funeral service, okay? All right? All right? But think about that. If you believe in the spiritual warfare that is taking place, the things that is moving people. See, what you have manifested in the physical was taking place in the spiritual realm. Let me tell you something right now. The real war of the battlefield is in the mind. It's in the mind. It's in the mind. That voice you hear, say, you can go and do that. It's all right. Hello. Ain't nothing wrong with that. Sure, drop that pill. Take that pill. It's all right. It won't harm you. Boy, I never should have touched a crack rock. Never, ever. One was too many and a million wasn't enough. And I was still trying to smoke up Peru. I just didn't have enough money. My blessing was when the police would come. I'm ready to go now. Man, I got no more money and I'm smoked out. Take me on in. I'll go rest, give me some meals, you understand? But see, the time was coming. It was going to kill me. I was going to die out there. And there's 20 to 25,000 people right now at the L.A. Convention Center that were headed on their way to hell, but God made a way. God reached down, you understand? God interrupted their miserable life, and now they're living for Jesus, and they're reaching out to others because someone reached out to them. 20 to 25,000 people there that used to be maniacs, y'all. Do you hear what I'm saying? And guess what? That's not everybody. Some of us are back here. We have at least a 90 from our congregation there, 80 or 90 people there. How many thousands do you think could not make it? My God, in 50 years. 50 years is a short time for a church. And to be in over 30 countries. They told Pastor Sonny, man, what you think you're doing? What you going to do? With all them misfits and maniacs at your house. He opened up his house. That was our first men's home. Hello, somebody. Him and Sister Julie. What you think you're doing there, Sonny? Them people, they never going to work. They never going to amount to anything. They're not going to get no job. How you going to build a church? Jesus. Jesus. See? The one who purposed to build a house, you understand, he built in vain. If it's not God doing the building. Is that what the Bible tells us? Yes, it is. Amen. I want you to turn. We'll stay there. We're still in Matthew 4. Amen. We'll be wrapping it up here in just a minute. Starting in verse 23. We stopped at 22. 4:23. And it says, and Jesus went about all Galilee teaching in the synagogues. Then he said he was preaching the gospel of the kingdom and he was healing all kinds of sickness and all kinds of disease amongst the people. Then his fame, somebody say his fame. Guess what, man? When you healing, when you healing the sick, when you're raising people from the dead, you understand? You healing people of diseases. Guess what? Hey, the word gets around. Because guess what? There's a whole bunch of sick people in the world. There's a whole bunch of tore up from the floor up people in the world. What you think that 20 or 25,000 that in L.A. right now, what do you think that's saying to L.A.? Hello, somebody. They seeing people walk down the street on the way to the convention. Say, what that brother had in a suit? He got tattoos all over his body. He's got a suit on. Tattoos all over his head, bald head. Where they going? The fame of Jesus Christ. Oh, they them Jesus freaks. And they come here from all over the world. They call us Jesus freaks. Little do they know. See, God has chosen the foolish thing. So it says here, it says, then his fame went throughout all Syria, and they brought to him all sick people. Now see, somebody else is bringing now. Somebody else believed. Somebody who saw. Somebody who was delivered. Now they done reached and grabbed somebody. Brother, you got to come on, man. That crack you've been smoking, look here. You see me? You see me? I'm not like that no more. I don't put pipe in my mouth no more. You got to come with me, brother, if you really want to keep her out of the penitentiary. You really got to come to me, you understand? If come with me, let me take you to Jesus. And so they begin to bring others. They brought to him all sick people who were afflicted with various diseases and torments. How many people you know you hear about daily with torments? Depression, suicide, in distress, overwhelmed by various situations and circumstances, health, finances, all kind of things. I work at a school sometimes, part-time. Yeah, I can't work right now. But they try to stop the bullying. There's kids that are terrified to go to school because they're being bullied. Some of these kids are committing suicide. Can you imagine that? I used to take a rock, man. I'd do something with the bully, but it's not like that no more because the bullies carry guns and stuff now. There are many kids that are truly afraid. They're committing suicide. Diseases and torments in those who were demon-possessed, epileptics and paralytics. And he did what? He healed them. Great multitudes followed him from Galilee and from Decapolis, Jerusalem, Judea, and beyond the Jordan. And if you would look behind Jesus, I'm sure there was a ragtag, tore up from the floor up, multitude of people following him, trying to get their turn to some of that healing, or at least curious about what he's going to do next. Hello, some of us come to church, we're just curious. We're not ready to make that commitment yet, but we're just curious. Let me see what's going to jump off yet. There's some people just come in and see, yeah, I'm going to see if he slipped. I still can't believe he's saved. There's some people I used to run with, they still can't believe I'm saved. Brother, please. Much crack I used to smoke my crack, your crack, everybody's crack. Okay, you understand what I'm saying? I used to steal from you. There was days I wouldn't take no prisoners. Hello, somebody. No, I'm not taking no prisoners today. You were my buddy last night. You're not my friend anymore. Okay, because if you got some crack, brother, I'm going to pull my pistol on you, a rock or something, and I'm going to take it from you. See, there was no love out there. No love. No love out there. The only love that they'll ever witness is the love of Christ. See, we come to church, we got all this knowledge now and stuff. Some of us come, get fat, full of knowledge and stuff. People don't care how much you know until they know how much you care. You know? So the thing is, they want to see Jesus in action. Well, guess what? That's where your testimony comes in. But we got to protect our testimony. Otherwise, somebody's just going to be able to say, see, I knew they wasn't right. All right, same one brought me in. He didn't backslid. Look at him. He's out there on the corner over there. We have to protect that testimony. We have to be faithful. We have to be genuine. Somebody say genuine. Amen. In these verses, we are shown the extent of Jesus' healing ministry and commission. Jesus' healing ministry has been a model for our church. Amen. Victory Outreach. Pastor Mitchell said yesterday morning, hey, let's get it straight. We are Pentecostal. We believe in Pentecost. We believe in the power of the Holy Spirit. We believe in laying on of hands. We believe in speaking in tongues. Hello, somebody. See, we're Pentecostal. And he got it straight. We're not that other denomination there. Because many of us came from other denominations. Man, they didn't have music in the church that I went to as a kid. They just sang, but beautiful. They sang beautifully. All of their harmonies was in a cappella and stuff, but they didn't have music. See? And I was a musician, so man, that'd be a hurting situation for me. But that's not the only reason I'm here. I'm here because I witnessed the power of Jesus Christ upon my life, taking me out of that old, miserable, stinking life that I used to live. And then I was witness to brothers like Sam and brothers like Aaron and then some of our pastors. See, this power that God has is real. This love of God is real. It is real. It's not a joke. But God calls us to take the steps daily to stay in tune with him. He didn't make us robots. We have to put in some work. Amen. We have to put in some work. Aaron, if I can get you up here on the guitar, brother. See, Jesus' ministry consisted of teaching and preaching and making disciples and healing the sick and casting out demons. Many believe that Jesus, being the Son of God, not only was able to do these things, but that he did them to demonstrate his deity. That's not real. That's not real. God ain't doing things to demonstrate who God is. That's not why Jesus was healing. See, there's passages like in Matthew, for those taking notes, Matthew 9, 36 and 37, and Matthew 14 and 14 that clearly tell us that Jesus healed people out of what? Compassion. He healed out of compassion. See? Don't flip the script. Because there's one passage that'll really nip it in the bud. And you know what that is? John 3:16. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, and whoever so believe in him shall not perish but have everlasting life. See, it was all about love from the get-go. All about love, all about compassion. Jesus healed, you understand, out of compassion. Jesus showed the sympathy, and he had pity and concern for those that were suffering and those that were misfortunate, you understand. The only way we can be used of God is to have God manifested in our lives to where we have the very heartbeat of God beating in us. Because it's not about how pretty you can look in a church service. It's not about you just coming to the events. It's about whether or not you're coming with the right heart. Because sometimes we'll show up, and it's great that people can show up, but the whole purpose of showing up, love covers a multitude of sin, the Bible says. People want to see genuineness in us. If we don't have genuineness, then we miss the mark. Jesus wasn't performing these miracles because he had to prove that he was God. He had compassion for a lost and dying people. See, back in Genesis in the garden, we took the wrong turn, which I'm going to talk to Adam about that when I get there. But anyway, I'm just kidding. We took the wrong turn, and the curse came in. But God called us as free-willed agents. We have a mind to reckon, a reason to choose, and then we have the Word of God that keeps us on course. So that we're choosing what his will is and not what our own thing is. We need the heartbeat of God for souls. I'm going to read one more scripture. Hallelujah. And that's in Mark 16. We getting anything, people of God? And Mark 16 is another passage of the Great Commission, the great authoritative command of God, of Jesus Christ. And it reads like this: later he appeared to the 11 as they sat at the table, and he rebuked their unbelief and their hardness of heart, because they did not believe those who had seen him after he had risen. And he said to them, go into all of the world and preach the gospel to every creature. He who believes and is baptized will be saved, but he who does not believe will be condemned. Now here's the kicker right here. And these signs will follow those who believe, that in my name they will cast out demons. They will speak in new tongues. They will take up serpents, and if they drink anything deadly, which we all have, well, I'm not going to say all of us, but many of us, Jack Daniels is poison, y'all, okay? I'm just going to tell you like it is, all right? The only reason you've been able to drink it and get away with it is because God's hand's been upon you, all right? Wasn't made to drink nothing that nasty. I don't care what you say, right? They will take up serpents, and if they drink anything deadly, it will by no means hurt them. They will lay hands on the sick, and they will recover. This Great Commission includes the promise. These are promises. This is Jesus talking to us, that they will lay hands on the sick and they will recover. And I'm going to tell you tonight that Jesus extends this Great Commission to us on the basis of his atonement. Not of what he's giving us the ability to do, but what we are able to do, what he's able to do through us, who are obedient, who are in tune, who have a personal relationship with Jesus. He's able to use us. We're vessels, and we want to be honorable vessels, because he cannot use a dishonorable vessel. Light and darkness have nothing in common, the Bible says, nothing at all in common. So this message here, you know, it's not the feel-good message, but it's the message of hope. Because right now, with every eye closed, every head bowed, right now you might be in a situation where, man, I just don't know what my purpose is. You know, or I've got a whole multitude of things going on in my life, Lord. And I don't know what to do about them. Or I'm at a crossroads and I don't know which road to take. We all have different things, different challenges. Or maybe we have a calling. Maybe we have some type of talent, some type of gifting that God has given us. And we've been too afraid to expose it or to use it or to tap into it and allow God to increase it in our lives. Whatever it might be, God has called us. God has given back, He has given back to us dignity. Maybe some of us never had dignity. But He has given us more than anything. He has given us hope and a promise for tomorrow. Not only to use our life. And guess what? It's a joyous walk. All right? I'm serious about it. And it doesn't mean that I'm mad at you. I'm just serious about it. But I smile because I know. You understand? When you preach, you're trying to get a message across. You're not mad at anybody, but you're trying to get a message across. And I'm not yelling at anybody, although I'm speaking loud, because it needs to be heard what God is to us and what God wills to do in our life. Before they start singing and before this altar call, I want to ask, because Jesus has given us a free gift of salvation. And the Bible tells us this. Is that those that believe in their heart and confess with their mouth that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, that He's the Lord and Savior, they shall be saved. Simple. And if there's anyone here tonight that have not accepted the free gift of salvation, remember Jesus gave of Himself freely. There was a price that should have been paid on the cross, and we couldn't pay it, and He did. He paid it because we couldn't pay it. He paid our debts. He canceled our debt. Through His blood, He has reconciled us unto Himself. He has reconciled us unto God. We're no longer God's enemy. Those of us who believe on Jesus Christ, we have become His friends. We have become His children. Hello, somebody. And if that be you tonight and you have not accepted that free gift of salvation, I want you to raise your hand. Don't be embarrassed. Don't be ashamed. Raise your hand. And know that Jesus loves you. Is that anyone here tonight? I'm going to ask the rest of you to stand while they sing this song tonight. I'm going to make an altar call here. An altar call is open. Whatever you might have on your mind, on your heart, we're going to pray. We're going to pray together. We're going to pray together. And I'm willing to pray for you over your circumstance, whether it be healing of your body, emotional healing, maybe debts, financial debts, whatever it might be. The altars are open. Hallelujah.
So you can heal. Give myself away. Myself.